Good evening. The reading today is from Daniel 8, which is on page 745 of the Church Bibles. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and when I saw, I was in Susa, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was at the Ulai Canal. I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the bank of the canal. It had two horns, and both horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram charging westwards and northwards and southwards. No beast could stand before him, and there was no one who could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased and became great. As I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came to the ram with the two horns, which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal. And he ran at him in his powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram. And he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him. And there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great. But when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns towards the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land. It grew great even to the host of heaven, and some of the host and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled on them. It became great, even as great as the prince of the host. And the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. And a host will be given over to it together with the regular burnt offering because of transgression. And it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to the one who spoke, "For how long is the vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, and the giving over of the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state." When I, Daniel, saw the vision, I sought to understand it. And behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai. And it called, "Gabriel, make this man understand the vision." So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face, but he said to me, "Understand, O son of man, that the vision is for the time of the end." And when he had spoken to me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and made me stand up. He said, "Behold, I will make known to you what shall be at the latter end of the indignation, for it refers to the appointed time of the end. As for the ram that you saw and the two horns, these are the kings of Media and Persia. And the goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king. As for the horn that was broken, in place of which four others arose, four kingdoms shall arise from his nation, but not with his power. And at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold countenance, one who understands riddles, shall arise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power, and he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does and destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints. By his cunning, he shall make deceit prosper under his hand, and in his own mind he shall become great. Without warning, he shall destroy many. And he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, but by no human hand. The vision of the evenings and the mornings that has been told is true. but seal up the vision, for it refers to many days from now. And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I rose and went about the king's business, but I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thank you so much, Sophie, for reading the Bible for us just then. Please do keep that Bible open in front of you, page 745, Daniel chapter 8. That'll be a great help for you and a great help for me as we get into, as we get into this passage. Steve, thank you for praying for us as well. So that question that we already started to think about is this: how do you keep going as a Christian in the face of opposition, hostility, persecution, and evil? Well, Daniel chapter 8 gives an answer, part of an answer to that, through this troubling and slightly bizarre dream. And it also gives us hope. We're going to see three things here. We're going to look at this chapter in three sections. So let's get straight into it. The first section is down there in verses 1 to 14, and we see there that God knows the future. Now, it's quite easy to get lost in the bizarre details of these dreams in Daniel. So why don't we start off just by slowly going through it again and just getting our heads around what's going on in this dream. So it's a dream about two animals. One's a ram and one's a goat. And it's a dream as well about eight horns. Okay, two horns are on the ram. There's one horn on the goat, which is kind of like a unicorn goat of some kind. Then there are four newer horns on the goat. And then out of one of those horns sprouts a final little horn. So the dream starts in chapter 8, verse 3, and it starts with the ram with two horns. Do have a look down at the Bible. It'll be really helpful for you as we go through this. So the dream starts in verse 3 with that ram that's got two horns. The ram is charging all around, and nothing can stand against it. This ram is doing whatever it wants, and it becomes great. Then verse 5, out of the west, beyond the horizon, comes charging a goat. It's that unicorn goat with a single horn between its eyes. Verse 6, have a look down there. The unicorn goat comes to the ram and charges at it. Do you see what happens? Have a look down at verse 7 and see if you can spot what happens. It's not pretty. He was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns, and the ram had no power to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled upon him. He was killed. So if the ram was great, well, this goat is exceedingly great. Now the focus of the dream moves to the goat's horns. Okay, the unicorn horn is broken, and four conspicuous horns sprout out of the goat's head. But the dream isn't really interested in those four new horns. And so the focus quickly moves on again to one of the horns, which sprouts a little horn. That's down there in verse 9. And this horn starts to take on a life of its own. So remember, this is a dream, and in dreams, anything can happen. If it makes sense to you to visualize this horn growing a head and sprouting some arms and legs so it can do the kinds of things that it's about to do, well, go for it. Because this little horn starts to do things that seem very human. So if the ram was great and the goat was exceedingly great, then this little horn is even greater still, towards the compass points. It's doing this kind of charging around towards different points of the compass. But I wonder if you noticed, have a look down at verse 10. It's not just around here on the earth that it's charging around, but it's charging upwards. It's growing great upwards towards heaven. the violence of this little horn isn't just directed to people, it directs its violence against heaven itself, where God is, and even towards the stars. It's as if heaven is being assaulted by this little horn, and God and his holy ones, well, they're being assaulted, attacked. In its eyes, verse 11, do you spot it down there? The little horn becomes as great as God himself. And thinking of himself as being like God, well, this little horn enters the temple in Jerusalem and starts to cause havoc. It thinks that it's bigger than God, so it stops the sacrifices there. It kind of messes up the temple so much, it's as if it's overthrowing the sanctuary itself. Now look, that is massive for the Old Testament, because the temple was the place where God met his people. The temple was the place where his people were made right with him. And on the face of it, it looks like little horn has won and that God has lost. Have a look down at verse 12 with me. Verse 12 talks about how even truth is thrown to the ground. Verse 12, have a look at the end of verse 12. It talks about how the little horn will act and prosper. It will do whatever it wants, whatever evil things it wants, and it will succeed. So in this dream, the ram was great. The goat was exceedingly great. Well, the little horn looks like he's greater even than God himself. It looks like God has lost and evil has won. I'll say that clearly. It looks like God has lost and evil has won. Let's pause there a second. This is that tension that we were thinking about a little bit earlier on in the service. And I wonder, have you ever felt that tension? Maybe it's that sinking feeling when it feels like, despite all of God's big promises, despite all the things he's done in the past, despite all the things you know about God, it still feels like he has lost and that evil has won the day. Perhaps it comes when you look at the news or when you consider the ways that Christians are treated around the world. Perhaps it's when you get the diagnosis you don't want, the terrible call in the middle of the night. Perhaps it's when your dreams, your hopes that you've been working for years, studying for years, get squashed in the moment you open an email and you see the grades were not high enough to get into where you wanted to go. Perhaps it's when you consider what's happening to those around you. Has God lost? Has evil won? It's okay to ask that question. It's not the kind of question you expect to hear from a pulpit, is it? But it's okay to ask that question, whether God has lost and evil has won. But wonderfully, we have an answer hear from God, because Daniel is not left wondering this for a long time, because the scene changes again in the dream, and the dream now focuses on a conversation between two angels, and the two angels are asking each other, well, let's have a look at verse 13 and see what they're saying. Verse 13, the question they are asking is this: for how long are all these terrible things going to take place? For how long will the little horn stop the temple sacrifices? For how long will the little horn continue desolating the temple? For how long will the little horn keep trampling God's people underfoot? That's the question they've got. But what's interesting is that the angel doesn't answer the other angel. Have a look down at verse 14. Do you see the first five words there? And he said to me, that's Daniel talking there. The angel didn't answer the other angel. The angel turned to Daniel and answered him. You see, in the midst of this terrible vision, God speaks to Daniel through his angels and reassures him. Isn't that so encouraging? Isn't that really, really encouraging? In the face of these huge doubts and these massive questions that Daniel's got, well, we have a God who turns towards us. We're going to see this at a couple of points in this chapter, where God reaches out to Daniel in the dream and reassures him. And friends, God does the same today. And maybe he's doing the same to you right now. You see, this terrible thing that's predicted in Daniel's dream will happen, but it will not continue forever because God sets limits on evil. There is an expiry date for evil. Have a look down at verse 14. This particular evil time period has a specific time limit. Do you see it down there? For 2,300 evenings and mornings. This is not just a vague 3.5 times like we saw in chapter 7 last week. No, this is a specific amount of time. Daniel could have, if he knew when it was going to start, he could have put a date in his diary for when this one would stop. This evil period has a specific time. Now, different people have different ideas about what the mornings and evenings mean, but I think it's just 2,300 days. 2,300 mornings and 2,300 evenings, we'll put them together, that's 2,300 days, isn't it? If you add up the days, it comes to just over 6 years, which is a remarkable detail that we're going to see a little bit later on. So just remember, 2,300 days is just over 6 years. But here's the key point right now. The key point here is that this terrible vision will not continue forever. The point is that evil will not have the upper hand forever. The dawn will come, and the night will not last forever. The rain clouds will part, and the sun will shine again. Because at the end of this period of time, do you see it down there at the end of verse 14? At the end of this period of time, the sanctuary, the temple, will be restored to its rightful state. Has God lost? Well, to us and to Daniel, it may look like God has lost for a time. But who's really in control here? Because we have a God here who knows the future. We have a God who doesn't just know about the future. We have a God who writes the future. And he puts limits on evil's future. God has not lost, nor has he lost control. God knows the future. And that's the first thing that we see in this dream. But what's the dream really about? That's what verse 15, have a look down there. That's what Daniel is seeking to understand. And it's then that God reveals what's really going on. And we're going to see that in our second section, which is down here in verses 15 to 18. And in this second part of the dream, we see that God reveals and he shows compassion. So have a look down at verse 15 with me. In this second part of the dream, Daniel sees a human-like figure. Now, that's the angel Gabriel, but there's another voice there. Do you see that down there in verse 16? Verse 16 says, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai," between the banks, the riverbanks of the Ulai Canal. You see, there's another voice that's coming from the middle of the river. A voice coming from one who walks on water, which if we know something about Jesus, that reminds us of him, doesn't it? Because this voice commands Gabriel to help Daniel understand the vision. This is the Son of God speaking in Daniel chapter 8. And that's the kind of God that we have. We've got a God who doesn't just know the future, but we've got a God who speaks, who reveals the future. He doesn't give us all the details, but he tells us enough to help us keep going and to keep trusting him. So God tells Daniel through that angel that, verse 17, the vision he's just seen, the dream he's just had of the ram and the goat, well, and of all the various horns and the terrible things the little horn will do, all of that stuff in the dream is for the time of the end. And at that, Daniel faints and falls to the ground. It's too much for him. Maybe we're feeling the same. Hold on, we will get more. We will see more here. Have a look at verse 18 with me. Daniel has fainted. He's collapsed to the ground. And then have a look at verse 18. Verse 18, the angelic messenger stoops down to the ground. He takes a knee next to Daniel. And just like his master, just like the wonderful Lord Jesus, the angel touches Daniel. He touches him with this reassuring hand and helps him to stand up. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that absolutely wonderful? That's the kind of God that we have in Jesus. We have a God who speaks, but we also have one who shows compassion as well. Compassion to those who are flawed by what they see around them. And maybe that's you this evening. Perhaps you are feeling flawed by what life has thrown at you. Well, Jesus reaches out to you through this bit of the Bible with a reassuring and compassionate hand on your shoulder. Not a wagging finger that says, do better, but a caring hand that lifts you up and helps you to stand. So having helped Daniel to stand again, the angel starts to explain this terrible dream that Daniel has had. And we're going to see that in our third section, which is down there in verses 19 to 26. And we see here that God is in control. So the angel begins to explain what will happen at the appointed time. And look, none of this is going to be vague. These are specific countries mentioned here. These are specific people, specific events that will happen, that have happened for us, that were going to happen for Daniel. And they happened at specific times. You can go to the library, you can get a book out, and you can read about these happening. This is not fairy stories. This is world history that God is predicting. You see, that's how much God is in control. Even the great events of history are in his hands. So what is happening in the Middle East right now? What is happening in Ukraine? What is happening on the world stage? None of this is taking God by surprise. He is completely in control of every single thing that hits our news and those things that don't hit the news. So verse 20, let's have a look at what's going on here. We see in verse 20 that the ram with two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. These were the kings who would take over after Belshazzar's death. They did take over. Verse 21, the goat that comes charging out of the east is the king, out of the west, sorry, is the king of Greece. This is Alexander the Great, who came out of nowhere and conquered the known world in no time at all. It was as if his feet didn't touch the ground. That's how quickly he came onto the world stage. Verse 22, at Alexander the Great's death, he's the unicorn horn, at his death, his empire was split into four kingdoms. That's the four new horns that grow up. The little horn, well, he's described in verses 23 to 25. Do have a look down there with me. Verse 23, this little horn will be bold. Verse 25, this little horn will be cunning. And he will arise out of one of the four kingdoms. And he has a name. He had a name. He's dead, long dead now. The little horn's name was Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He was a real king. A real man who really lived and really did these things that were predicted in Daniel's dream. You see, using cunning and boldness, Antiochus IV Epiphanes manipulated God's people. He killed many of them. He set himself up against God. They found coins on the back with a face, an imprint of his face on the back of the coin, and it says, God. Or words to that effect. He set himself up against God. Antiochus entered the temple in Jerusalem and sacrificed a pig on top of the altar. defiling it. If you know your Old Testament, that's about the most offensive thing that you can do in a temple. Pigs are unclean back then. He defiled the temple. He stopped the sacrifice system, the burnt offerings that made people right with God. Antiochus outlawed the reading of the law, of the Torah. He trampled even truth, like the dream says. And get this. This is the last detail. All of that happened for just over 6 years. From the moment he killed the high priest of the temple until his own death, well, just over 6 years passed. Remember those 2,300 days? You see, none of this caught God by surprise. It was awful. It was an awful period of time. But none of it caught God by surprise. He predicted that it would happen hundreds of years in advance. And as terrifying as that vision is, the fact that God knew it would happen is deeply reassuring. Because it shows us that we have a God who is in complete control of everything, including the forces of evil. He's in complete control of them, and he holds them on a tight leash, and he permits and uses them to bring about good ends. And he does it in such a way that he remains perfectly good. You see, that's who our God is. Verse 24 tells us that Antiochus IV Epiphanes did not come about by his own power. And the question that we're left wondering is this: whose power was it that allowed him to do all that? Whose power was it? I mean, undoubtedly it was satanic. It was an evil power that was at work through him. But what about behind that? Because time and time again in Daniel, we see that we have a God who's ultimately in control. And he's still in control here. How can that be? Why does God allow all this to happen? Well, Job, one of the great Old Testament figures in the Old Testament, Job, his story is told in a book with his same name, Job. Job asked a similar question when he was faced with his own suffering. Terrible, terrible things happened to him, to his family. And he kept on saying, God, why? Why? Well, God responds to Job's question, and that question, when we ask it as well, not by explaining why, but by explaining who he is. You see, time and time again, we've seen in Daniel that God is just, good, and kind. We've seen that already in this chapter, haven't we? We've already seen that he is kind, compassionate, and in control. The message of the Bible is that if you want to know what God is like, you need to look at Jesus. He's the one that this passage in Daniel describes as the Prince of Princes. And how wonderfully different is Jesus compared to this little horn? Because this little horn fights against the Prince of Princes. He fights against Jesus. This little horn here exalts himself. But Jesus, who is the true Prince of Princes, well, he humbles himself. The little horn snatches at glory, but Jesus gives glory to the Father. The little horn tricks, lies, and uses cunning, but Jesus is truth himself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This little horn destroys the worship of God, but Jesus offers himself to restore true worship. The little horn tramples on God's people, but Jesus himself was trampled upon. He died for his people that they might be saved. This little horn here, well, he fights against the Prince of Princes, but Jesus has the victory. Do you see that down there in verse 25, towards the end of our passage? You see, the little horn, and indeed all evil too, shall be broken, not by a human hand, not by a politician's hand, not by a president's hand, but by a divine hand. You see, we've got a God who's in complete control. All of this was going to happen right down to the tiniest detail and at exactly the right time. So as we draw to a close in this Bible talk, the vision ends. And it's not supposed to be easy. I make no apologies for that. This is not supposed to be easy. The question we thought about at the very start is this: how do you keep going when evil seems to be winning? Well, there's something authentically human in responding to such evil with tears. That's what Jesus did when he went to his good friend Lazarus's tomb. Lazarus had died and Jesus wept. And Daniel here at the end of this passage, I don't know if you spotted it when Sophie was reading it out. Have a look at verse 27. Daniel was so appalled by this vision of evil that he lay bedbound for days. But he got up. He got up. What kept him going? Well, he took the hand that lifted him up and he trusted. He trusted enough to keep on seeking the welfare of the city. He trusted enough, even if you look at it down there, he trusted God enough to go about the evil king's business. There are great truths in Daniel chapter 8, but they are troubling ones without an easy answer. What are we left with here? We're left here with an invitation to trust. We're left with the invitation to trust the one who knows the future, to trust the one who controls evil, to trust the one who steps in and defeats evil, and to trust the one who reaches out his hand and lifts you up, lifting you up to face the day ahead with all its unresolved worries, questions, and fears. So friends, as we draw to a close, what are you going to do? How do you keep going? Well, will you take God's hand, which reached out to Daniel, or will you not? That's the simple question that we have right now. Daniel, as we get to the end of this chapter, he got up, even though he didn't have all the answers. He got up because he trusted the one who does have the answers. Amen. We're going to take a few moments just for quiet reflection, and then we're going to pray, and then I think we're going to go into another time of prayer afterwards.